Y'all ready to receive the word?
Amen, amen. There's a lot of people over here. I'm almost feeling this. Now, is it because you don't like sitting in the middle? You don't want to be on camera? All right, this is part two of a house. United, God wants us to have a united home, a united church. You own a business, He wants it to be united. I mean, sometimes I get that you're going to have to weed out some things. You're going to have confrontations. You're going to have to be able to do certain things in order to keep that united. So there's certain types of confrontations that you're going to have. You know, a few weeks ago, I'm going to share this story because I love the people. I love the family and stuff. It's like, but they kind of bit on something. Came to me, telling me, I said, actually went to Tom, then came to me. And then I called him up. I asked, what's going on? He goes, I got a few concerns. I said, okay. Well, as soon as you came into the worship, it seemed like there was just a darkness there. That's the day when Steve fell out, when I handed out those treat bags. See, the thing about it is that when I come in here, I pray about 10, 15 minutes before. And then for that particular service, I decided to pray before I start. I rarely ever do that. I was contending against that spirit he was operating in. It was a spirit of offense. So all after getting out all that stuff out of the way and the concerns that he had, I already had addressed it in my message. Like the Lord already had me address it. Every scripture, everything that he had a problem with, I addressed it through the message. He was trying to make it out to be as if it was from God to man to people. It's powerful, but it was really man to man to people. The Lord just revealed that to me. We had talked for about an hour. Then the Lord said, you know, you addressed everything that he had an issue with in your message. And I was like, that's right. Preach the word in season, out of season. Basically preach what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Well, you need to be preaching this. I just gave you scripture. All right. God bless you. And I just asked him this one question, and it came to find out that he was doing it for a friend. I get that. But here's the thing. From God to man to the people, it will always be a powerful thing. But when you're doing it for others, they might have concerns. Let them come to me. They want to involve you. You just tell them, hey, you go talk to Pastor Tim. Just send them to me. If they send you to me, they're going to take an L. And he took two. And I just asked him, I said, how have I treated your family? He goes, pretty good. So you're trying to tell me I need to be accountable, and you're trying to force that, but behind it is control, manipulation, intimidation, and domination. It's kind of what I preached on. Don't allow people to tell you. I said, this is part of this, a house united. In Luke 11, it says this, just starting in verse 14, it says, one day Jesus cast out a demon. This is the same thing we talked about last week. We read it in Mark. It says, cast out a demon from a man who couldn't speak. And when the demon was gone, the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed, but some of them said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Now we know demons can't cast out demons. And even if they said it about Jesus, they're going to say it about you if you were to ever do that. If God were to lead you to do that. Now we don't go around chasing people with that. Well, that person has one. Let me just go. No, we don't do that. We just mind our own business. And it's about God. If you run up on one or somebody tries to come at you, you have that authority to cast it out. You have that authority. It says, others trying to test Jesus demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. Right on time, Jesus is tested by the crowd. They tried to cancel out this miracle of casting out demons, and then they wanted to see another miracle. See, when Jesus stepped on the scene, they didn't really have much recollection that there was a Satan out there. And he taught them that the enemy comes to steal, kill, to destroy. They knew that. So now they know that Jesus is teaching about demons or teaching about Satan, and now they're trying to turn that and flip that around and make it out to be as if he has one as well. Next verse. It says, he knew their thoughts, so he said, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. See why you don't go and rush to go at other people for others? Because they don't know the damage that they're doing to other people. They don't know the spirit that they're operating in. Remember when the disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven because they didn't want Jesus to stay tonight or what have you? Jesus says, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of, because the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save it. They want families to fall apart. They want businesses to crash and die off. They want churches to shut down. A person divided against himself cannot stand. Somebody remind me, I'm a big Seinfeld fan. As soon as he walked out, a George divided against himself cannot stand. Got two worlds here, and the worlds are colliding together. If you're divided against yourself, or better yet, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I can't say I'm for someone and then behind the scenes be coming against them. That's double-minded. Bible says you're unstable. How can I be for Isaiah and then I'm sending people at Isaiah to go at Isaiah and my own son because I'm trying to teach him something? No, if I'm trying to teach him, if I want him to know, I'm going to sit down and talk with him because I care about him. That's how we do it. Why am I going to send someone else? They don't know. And you don't realize that you have to test that spirit. Lord, is this accurate? You know, the Bible says, I'm going to just quote a scripture. I'm going to see how it makes y'all feel. Okay? This is out of Proverbs 6:12. I didn't give you that. It's the Passion Translation. It says, here's another life lesson to learn from observing wayward and wicked men. You can tell they are lawless. They're constant liars, proud deceivers, full of clever ploys and convincing plots. Their twisted thoughts are perverse. They're always scheming in order to stir up trouble. And every step they take, they sow strife. But when calamity comes knocking on their door, suddenly and without warning, they're undone. They're broken to bits, shattered to pieces without any hope of healing. I believe that hurt people will do what? Hurt people. People who love, they will go out and love. People who are givers, they will go out and give. People who are broken, I think sometimes they will go out and try to break you. Now, first of all, God is ready to break you, and it's really them breaking you because they've been broken, shattered to pieces without any hope of healing. We've got to stop doing this in the body of Christ where we feel that we need to break other people for our own enjoyment because we've been broken. Allow God to heal you. Just a food for thought. Allow God to heal what is going on in your life. All that trauma that you may have faced as a child, we've all gone through some stuff. But allow God to heal us. Allow God to heal you so that you could be a healing. You could be healing to other people. But when you're wanting to break other people down, you're going to have to reevaluate whether or not you've been broken and you haven't been fixed. Broken people will want to break people. Verse 18 says, you say I'm empowered by Satan, but if Satan is divided and fighting against himself, how can his kingdom survive? Satan has a kingdom. See, and that's, Satan has a kingdom. Now, this is just a little joke, but that's where they start the Red Kingdom. For you Chiefs fans, you know that. Yeah, that's where they got it from. All that red and stuff. That's why. Meaning, if Satan is divided against himself, his kingdom would have died off a long time ago. He wouldn't be able to flourish as he is able to do. And it would be counterproductive. And it's the same way with God. And you'll have people that say, well, God put this in my life. God did this for me. God did it. And you don't realize that it could have just been a lack of discipline in your life. Because Satan can't do anything to us that we don't want him to do. No robber can come in your home unless you, I mean, unless they just broke open the door or what have you, or you left it open yourself. So it's just discipline that we have to have in our own personal lives. It isn't necessarily always God. It isn't always Satan. But once he has that inroad into your life, he comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. Like clockwork. He will not disappoint because he knows his job. We have to know ours. We're called to be united in Christ. The Holy Spirit brings unity into our lives. Jesus says in 1 John 3:8, it says, I've come to destroy the works of Satan. He came to destroy. Every single time that Jesus went out and did his miracles, he was destroying the works of Satan. They were not the works of God. That's counterproductive. It's crazy. I sometimes I got to turn podcasts off. They're constantly blaming God. We have to take ownership for what we do. We have to take responsibilities for what we say. We have to take accountability for the things and for our actions and stuff. We have to do that as a body of Christ. And we keep shifting the blame to someone else and then putting it on God. I said, stop blaming God. Well, he controls everything, not your choices. Overall, yes, we win. We win. We're on a winning team. Y'all know that? Come on now. Because this, I'm going to start talking about this. We're on Team Jesus. We're on the winning team. I don't understand why anybody would want to play with Satan. Hey, Satan, I got you. No! You're going to lose every single day of your life coming against people that actually know the Word of God. The true saints of Jesus Christ, you're going to know that. Why on earth would anybody want to play on Team Satan? I don't get that. I don't get that at all. In verse 19, is that scripture on? And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. See, even in Luke 9:49, there were some guys that were going out. There was a guy going around casting out a demon. And the disciples wanted to stop it. Says Jesus says, don't stop him. Don't stop him. Let him go. He simply told him, don't stop them. Anyone who is not against you, against me, is for me. At that moment, they weren't against Jesus. He says, if anyone is against me, it's for me. Why on earth would we want to be against Jesus? See, this is where the loving God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and strength, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. Why on earth would anybody want to be against you? Because you have Christ living in you. I don't get it. You end up taking an L when you don't have to. I want that V on my head, on my chest. Victory. You have that. Verse 20 says, but if I am casting out, or verse 19, but if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. The two kingdoms. God's good. Satan is evil. And if people is having you to go out to do things that are evil, and that's the reason why I say and preach what I preach, because sometimes people don't know what they're doing. He didn't know. Still love him. I said, he didn't know. So when I had to break it down to him, I go, did you know that? He goes, nope. He didn't know. He was led astray. Still love him. Still love his family. They didn't know. The enemy will always lead you astray. You can count on that 100%. He's always going to lead you astray. Kind of ticks me off a little bit because they're good people. But God is saying, which kingdom are you going to serve? One of those kingdoms win daily and the only one, and then the other one loses daily. The kingdom of God will always win daily. I don't get tired of winning. I choose the kingdom of God daily for my life. Every day. So when somebody tries to correct me, someone tries to correct me, guess what? That's a win for me. Why? Because I want to grow. Correction is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Rebuke is not a bad thing. The Bible says an open rebuke is a whole lot better than secret love. You win if it's done with the word of God. But if it's done out of feelings, out of emotions, out of hatred, out of envy, out of jealousy, out of competition, out of contention, all that other stuff, I will reject in a heartbeat. Every single time. The answer is, and always will be, no. I love when people make that statement. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I like comfort. I know I can grow in comfort. I like a comfortable truck. I like a comfortable bed. I like a comfortable couch. The Bible says one man waters, another man, one man sows, another one waters, and God is the one who gives the increase. Can you grow in discomfort? Yes. That's not the only way. You mean to tell me you read a book, you learned from it, you applied it to your life, and you didn't grow? Yeah, you've grown. You've learned from that. Now, there might be some opposition that might come your way. Now you can apply those things that you've learned. But you can grow in comfort. Just the enemy doesn't want you comfortable. Sometimes God doesn't want you comfortable because we can get complacent. Ooh, there's another word. That's not good, is it? God doesn't want you complacent. So you know how I make certain people, because people like to go around and try to make everyone else uncomfortable, but that's their comfort zone. They love stirring up chaos. The enemy loves stirring up chaos. That's his comfort zone. So for him to be uncomfortable, you're going to have to apply the word of God. You're going to have to use your authority and make him uncomfortable. Tell him no. You'll see them get uncomfortable, and they're going to have to get back into their comfort zone and create more chaos. What? They're told no. I once had an individual. I went to a camp meeting. Came back in, and we were sitting with a guest speaker. And it's the first time I met this guest, I would say second time. And as soon as I left, and I was getting ready to come back to Hayes, he goes, "Hey, stay out of trouble." I said, "Well, what trouble am I getting into?" Well, I wasn't getting in trouble. Somebody was pushing that narrative. It wasn't true. I didn't hate on that. I did not hate on that, not one bit. I just knew that somebody was trying to push a false narrative. I won't ever submit to that. I appreciate the kind words. And the guy is funny. Great speaker, easy to talk to. But he was told wrong. Now, there's a kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of God. You can choose that side every single day. The kingdom of God. I'm telling you, you're going to win every time. I'm going to give you the answer to that. The kingdom of God will win every single time. Every time against the kingdom of darkness. But you have to do it in love. Because the Bible says that the wrath of man does not do what? Produce the righteousness of God. You have to do it with love. Verse 21 says, "For when a strong man is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapon, and carries off his belongings." So you can't allow anyone to change up your identity. Your identity is important. Your identity is in Christ. It's in Jesus. No one can strip you from that. No one can take it from you if you understand your identity in Jesus. That's why I say it, no fly zone. Why? Because when you're a fly zone, when you choose to be a flying monkey for somebody else or what have you, you lose your identity. Because that's not you. That's not who you are in Christ. Never allow somebody to reduce you down to something that you're not. Because you know who you are. You're a child of God. A house united is a whole lot better than a house divided, obviously. So when you're in your marriage, make sure you're united. My wife and I had some trying times. It was almost divided. I mean, we were at each other like Tom and Jerry. But see, everybody knew Tom and Jerry were really good friends. Tom just had to play the part, you know, he got to catch that mouse. But they were really good friends. Because the enemy wants to break up that unit. But it's going to require the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to keep you together. Pray about everything you're getting ready to do. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. One of the things that was said to me was like, you're not the only one that has discernment. I said, no, but I do pray about everything, though. Even when I do get discernment, I pray about it because I want to make sure it's accurate. Lord, is this really from you? Let me test it out again and again and again so I can be accurate. Because I don't want to be doing anything that you don't want me to do. We were in a transition years ago. It started in 2016. I had a friend that was calling up every once in a while and asking, hey, how's the transition going, man? Is there anything that we can do to help you? I was like, dude, I've been out of God's will for so long for my life. I'm finally in it. I'm not trying to rush anything. I appreciate the words. I appreciate the help, but I've been in God's will. I've been out of God's will for my life for so long. I'm finally in it. I'm not trying to rush anything. And sometimes, and I wouldn't say that he was trying to rush, but sometimes the enemy can try to rush you into doing certain things and making certain decisions and needs you to be snappy with it so you can make a mistake. We just have to learn to say no. In verse 23, it says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. You know how prideful it has to be for an individual to be against Jesus? You know how prideful it has to be for anyone to be against the saints of God? It's pretty prideful. It's one of those, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have to ask for forgiveness for them. A true shepherd will tell you these things. People who don't want you to be informed, they want you operating in it. I'll tell it to you. And sometimes this isn't the most popular message. I know it. I get it. But it is a love your neighbor type message. Love your sister, Brian. Sisters. Well, you know, it's no. It's fine. You can have your days. No. It's fine. It's to love your neighbor. When you're seeing that kid getting picked on at school, you feel impressed by the Lord to do something and stand in. Do it. You're not doing it for clout. You're doing it because that person can't stick up for himself. Gosh, I hate bullies. I hate bullying. I shouldn't say I hate bullies. I want to love on them with laying on of hands. But you have to get to the place to where you begin to separate yourself from those who are not for you. Know who's for you. Know who's against you. meaning they are no longer influencing you or your decisions. Because if they are not for you, then they are not for Jesus. And if they are not for Jesus, then they are against them. And they will lose every single time. So you don't have to sweat it. You don't have to sweat it. In Deuteronomy, you are blessed. You are blessed. Deuteronomy 28 says this: if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you above all the nations. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns, check it out, your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you don't lose with God. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. They will attack you in one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. So when people want to come in and attack you, they won't hurt you. It won't harm you. Well, you may not like who the person was or what have you. I don't like the fact. I hope they come back. Honestly, they're good people. Even though they may have attacked, I'm not like that. I don't want to ever get to the place to where I stop caring. Because you're not going to see that side of Tim. You're not going to want to when I stop caring. Like, forget it. Done. Over with. I don't like that. So I actually do care about people who do come against me, if that makes sense. Why? Because I know you're going to take an L. Because I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with the Lord. Why? Because I'm on the winning side. And you should be on the winning side. We all need to be on the winning side. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people. Sorry, I missed verse 8. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord. They will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time for each rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today and you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship me. Worship them. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not on the bottom. That's where you're at. You're the cream of the crop. Every day. There's not a day that you take off from being the head. So why do you think the enemy, will you go and do this for me? Matt, I need you to go do this here. I need you to go tell this individual here that, you know, and just go at them and just try to get under their skin and all that other stuff. You know, what I'm doing is reducing you down to nothing. A discipleless disciple. I mean, like a eunuch. I cut your purpose off for your life if I send you out to do that. And I would never do that to anyone. Because I can do it myself if I need to. True shepherds will protect. They'll protect the sheep. There's a time when in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they're getting ready to arrest Jesus, and they grab hold of him. The servant of the high priest will grab hold, try to grab hold of Jesus, and Peter came in and cut the ear off. And Jesus says, put your sword away, Peter. Those who live by the sword will do what? Die by it. He says, don't you know at my disposal, I said, my father can in heaven can give me legions of angels, 12 legions of angels at my disposal. I have that at my disposal. And the Lord showed me this something. It's like, hey, sheep don't protect shepherds. I was like, whoa. What? Peter was trying to protect Jesus, and Jesus was actually the protector. He stepped in and tried to protect him. They couldn't touch Jesus if they wanted to. Jesus allowed himself to be. The Bible says he humbled himself and became a servant. He became obedient to death. They couldn't take his life. He gave it. Sheep don't protect shepherds. I will not throw anyone in harm's way. I'll go do it. Because that's my heart. And guess what? God's coming with me. So as soon as Tom got that text, I said, I'm going to call him up. We had a man several years ago that was constantly trying to go at Brandon. He's over there taking his kids to baseball, and you have a problem with him being gone. So I said it from the pulpit. If you got a problem with him, you got a problem with me. Come see me. He didn't do anything to you. Needless to say, he's not here anymore. If I got to be ugly with at certain times, please forgive me for that in advance. Because my heart is to protect. And when I preach a message that you might not like, I know it's something that you actually need. I want to be that shepherd that's actually transparent when they say they're transparent. Sometimes they will withhold. I don't withhold. I just don't sugarcoat anything. And I'll get straight to the point. Cut to the chase. That's how I am. You must not turn away from any of the commands I am giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use freedom to serve one another in what? In love. So if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed." See, if I were to send Matt out to go do that, and I can make it very convincing, and I can make it out to be, hey, man, this is just correction here that I'm just trying to give him and what have you. Can you do that? But the spirit behind it could be an attack. See, Matt may not know that I sent Trent over here to go do it too. And then Trent may not know that I'm sending some Tom over here to go say it too. And then Tom may not know that I sent Chris over here to go say it too. That's like, so I got all these little so-called corrections, and they're just really attacks at that individual. That's why you need to discern the spirit. Because sometimes you don't know that you could be sinning while trying to help someone else. Discern it. That's why the enemy comes to deceive. The Bible says, and many times over, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Again, I would never do that, and no one in here should be doing it. Because leaders have to lead, and that's not what I lead by. So it's okay to say no to the enemy, but understand, they are going to always, always smear your name afterwards. If you heard stuff on me, guess what? It's because I stood my ground. I didn't sell out. I'll take my name being smeared if it means protecting everyone else. I don't care. Smear away. Peanut butter jelly time. I said, if you hear anything, I said, understand. I said, yep, Pastor Tim stood his ground. He just said no. I made people uncomfortable. If you see somebody walking around kind of rubbing their throat, oh, Pastor Tim may have gotten them. He may have throat punched somebody. No, I wouldn't do that. There's a joke years ago that I told, a few years back, that I told. There was a guy that was walking down the street, and there's a huge fence. You couldn't see over it. But all you can hear was guys just cheering and laughing. They were saying, 10! Yeah! And then he'd walk a little ways. 11! Yeah! They're getting all excited, man. He's like, man, just, I wonder what's going on here. 12! Yeah, everybody's just roaring, just, He comes around a corner and stuff, and the whole sidewalk is just packed and stuff, people walking by, but you still hear those cheers, 13, 12, 13. And then he finally gets up. I got to see what's going on. So he just keeps walking. He's trying to look through the cracks of the fence and stuff, and he sees a hole there. Takes off his glasses, puts them in his pocket, and he looks into that thing. 14! Somebody poked his eye. They're all cheering and stuff, and he's walking down. Well, the moral of the story is, mind your own business. The enemy loves to get into your business. Make the enemy uncomfortable every single day by saying no. No to him, no to his will. But when you say yes to God, understand, I said, God is not going to make you comfortable, but he is going to take that burden off of you. There's going to be times when you're going to be faced with challenges. You're going to have to step up and get after it. Because no one is going to live this life trouble-free. No one. So get yourself prepared. There's a test coming. Get yourself prepared. I'm not going to bring the test to you because it wouldn't really be a test. That would be, if I was broken, a broken person trying to test you. I'm not your test. But if you just allow God to minister through you, through what I'm preaching you, I'm telling you, you're going to get something out of it. And if anyone has a problem with me, you send them to me and I'll deal with it. I'll take the brunt of it. Y'all can keep living your nice, plush life. I'll take the brunt of it. Verse 14 says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. In Romans 13:8, it says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. So you got two teams. One is driven by faith and love, and the other one is driven by fear and hatred. But love will win out every single time. Every time. So try not to get caught up in the childish games behind the scenes, because they are driven by fear and hatred. Because a house or a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. But a kingdom united for Christ will win every time. Choose to be united. Doesn't mean you're not going to have confrontations. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have disagreements, because how many in your own homes have disagreements at times? Some of y'all fight over the remote. Some of y'all know, just give it to the wife and let it be. Ain't no need to fight that. Here you go, honey. What do we want to watch? So when you feel those things coming up and then stirring up and brewing up, and here's the thing, it's just trial and error. Some people know how to argue right. Some people are still learning from that. All I'm saying is keep that together and grow from it, and then it could be a living testimony for other people after God brings you through that storm. Because a lot of times we want to just push that narrative out to other people just so we could be right, and then everybody else gets involved, and then it just jacks everything up. There's no healing in it. It's just about being right. It's not about being right. People ask me, you know, you want to be right all the time? I said, no, honestly, I don't. But I can't help it if I am. No, that's a bad joke. See, I'm not even staring at the front row because they're just looking at me like this. Eyebrows up and everything. I don't even need to see. I'll get it when I hear it when I get home. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to do what? Love one another. Love doesn't destroy unless it's the kingdom of God. I mean, kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. So if you choose to roll with Satan, you're going to lose every time. Roll with God. He's a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Every single time. Young people, roll with God. It's never the popular thing to talk about your relationship with Jesus. But you know what? When you stand up for Christ, he's going to stand up for you. Every time. When you take a stand for Jesus Christ in your life, he will take a stand for you. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can be a church that is united in you, united in your love. And Lord, we just pray for the hearts that are here. We pray for the homes where the enemy tried to get in and seek to destroy. We thank you for that home being fulfilled in your love and through your word. We thank you that hearts are being restored back to you. We thank you for children coming back to those families. If they've ran astray, that prodigal son or daughter, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the grandparents. All the grandparents that are in here. They're not just parents, they're grandparents. Their prayers being answered because you are a faithful God. That those prayers won't go unhindered. We thank you for healing and restoration. You are the God of miracles. The God of miracles. And you are not short on any miracles, Lord. We thank you for this man here. We thank you for the resurrection power that's on the inside of him, Lord. We thank you for healing throughout. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Bob. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We are going to receive communion. Y'all get something out of that? Okay, I hope so. I know sometimes I can sound repetitive, but it's like it's on my heart. But I could say the same thing about Brandon. He is always talking about offering. No, if people get upset over the offering, it shows you where your heart's at.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.